chapter 15, book of Matthew, chapter 15. We'll read verses 29-32. Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. Great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the lame to speak, or the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days. So it's been 3 days now. And have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. What is recorded here is also recorded by Mark in chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. And though Matthew and Mark give record of this event, they do so from completely different angles. Matthew records the mass healing of a multitude. So he's looking at the event collectively. He says in verse 30, and great multitudes came unto him. He then proceeds to mention that the multitudes brought with them the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, and many others. And he declared and he healed them. And he healed them. Mark records the healing of one from this multitude. Mark 7, verse 32, and they bring unto him one. So the whole multitude is there, but Mark's focusing in on one. One that was deaf, had an impediment in his speech. And then Mark goes on to describe in detail the healing of this one. And in Mark 7:35, he says, and straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. That one individual knew that he was the recipient of the miraculous power of Christ. And though Matthew looks at it collectively, each individual in that multitude could point to Jesus and say, he did this for me. Because though Matthew records it as a multitude, I don't believe it was just a mass healing. I believe it was individual. And Mark focuses on one individual. So again, we have record of a miracle of Christ. As you all know, I love to preach on the miracles of Christ. They are actual and significant events. And they are numerous, and they are of great variety. The design of the miracles is to authenticate the person and the mission of Jesus Christ, to promote and strengthen faith in God's people, also to portray the needs of man, and to portray the salvation and the sufficiency that is in Christ. And I believe our text does all of these things. Both accounts, Matthew and Mark, begin with Jesus leaving the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, where he had just healed the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. And it's at this point that Mark gives a few more details. Mark 7, verse 31, he said, Jesus departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and he came unto the Sea of Galilee, and then notice, through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis, the region of 10 Greek cities. That's what Decapolis means, 10 cities. Matthew records that Jesus left Tyre and Sidon and he went up into a mountain and sat down there. So there's Jesus. He's in the region of Decapolis. He's in a mountain. And great multitudes came unto him. And Mark says, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Both Matthew and Mark write unto him. Unto him. Jesus, not the mountain, is the gathering point. Unto him. Does not say that they brought them unto the mountain. They did, but that's not what it says. They brought them unto him. He's the gathering point. And that's our subject. The gathering point of need, misery, and praise. And that gathering point is Jesus. Read verse 29. Of our text. And Jesus departed from thence and came unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. Notice those words. Jesus went up into a mountain. We do not know how high he went up. I don't believe he went all the way up the mountain. But I believe he's in a place of elevation to put some distance between him and this great multitude of people that had come. But as you read verse 29, there's a couple words that stick out. Jesus is one. And then there's that last word of the verse there. Jesus there. Jesus there. The one who had just delivered and healed a young girl who was dominated and being destroyed by Satan, and who had delivered her mother from the heartache and the misery and the helplessness of that situation, has now gone up into a mountain and he sat down there. Very specific place. And there he is. He's there on purpose. He's there with a purpose. And the purpose being that what we read in verse 30, he is there for the coming multitudes. That's why he's there. He's there for those that these multitudes would be bringing. In other words, he's there for the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, and many others. And he knew perfectly every single one that would be coming. He knew their history. He knew all their needs. He knew all their misery. And Jesus sat down there. Jesus. The one who came to rescue sinners from their sins. The one whom every sinner needs. There. Jesus there. And wherever you're there is, you need to see Jesus there. You need to see that. Jesus sat down there. So see Him sitting there. He's God. In a body of flesh. There. He is the Almighty. He is the eternal, the immutable, the infinite, the omniscient, the all-sufficient Creator in a body of flesh. And He sat down there. The Savior, the Redeemer, the Shepherd, the Friend of sinners, there. Jesus there. God's provision. God's remedy. God's solution. For the desperate needs of man. There. There He is. He's the one who can mend. He's the one who can cure. He's the one who can repair and restore. He's the one who can correct and deliver and strengthen. And He's there. He's greater than the place where He is. That's true everywhere Jesus went. And He's greater than all who would come. There He is. There's no condition. There's no situation. There's no circumstance, there's no sin. There's no guilt, there's no enslavement, there's no problem. There's no difficulty or trial or disease. There's no plague, wound, affliction or need that He's not sufficient for. And He's there. There He is. He can impact and alter and absolutely transform any situation. There He is. Greater than death, greater than darkness, greater than hurt, greater than hopelessness, greater than weakness, greater than anguish, greater than defeat, greater than fear. Jesus there. He's there as the all-sufficient one for all conditions, for all circumstances. He's the all-sufficient one for every need, for every care, for every burden. He's there as the all-sufficient one for every difficulty and every problem and every trial and every turmoil, every uncertainty, every challenge. Jesus is there. The all-sufficient one for every disappointment, for every frustration, for every discouragement, for every sorrow, for every heartache. Jesus there. The all-sufficient one for every infirmity, for every condition, for every temptation, for every confusion, for every anxiety. He's there. The all-sufficient one for whatever is shattered, whatever is torn, whatever is broken, whatever is ruined. Jesus is there. And He has the life. He has the salvation. He has the refreshment, the healing, the hope, the strength, the comfort, the relief, the joy, the victory that the people needed. He's the all-sufficient one. So we read that Jesus went up into a mountain and sat down there. Now that makes that mountain at that specific time a special place. But the mountain is not the attraction. The attraction is Jesus there. That's the attraction. Jesus there. Never let there cloud over Jesus. Never let there be bigger or even equivalent to Christ. The attraction is Jesus, not the mountain. So let's look at the multitude that came. Verse 30. Great multitudes came unto him. We see the magnitude of this multitude in what follows. In verse 32, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, the people who had come to him. As you read on, we didn't, but you read on, and Jesus would proceed to miraculously feed that multitude. In verse 38, we see that there were 4,000 men beside women and children. So well over 4,000 people had come to Jesus in that mountain. And now they've been there for 3 days. They didn't want to leave. Again, great multitudes came unto him. Didn't just come to the mountain, but unto him. And as you view this multitude of people, they are where they can see Jesus. They are there where they can hear Jesus. They are there where they can receive from him. And great multitudes came unto him. And then notice what it says, having with them. They brought something with them. Those that were lame, blind, and dumb, and maimed. And many others. This is quite a picture. This is quite a picture. There is Jesus. There's this great multitude of well over 4,000 people. A truly needy people. Those who were healthy brought the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, and others. No doubt those who brought them were greatly burdened for them. And they too stood in great need. And those who were brought stood in great need. Again, they are the lame. Those who could not stand or walk. There are the blind and the dumb. Those who could not hear or speak. There are the maimed. That's a limb, an arm, or a leg that's permanently damaged. And there are many others. Those who were paralyzed. Those who were diseased. Those who were demon-possessed. And again, in those days, there were no real surgeons. So if you were lame, blind, deaf, and mute, or maimed, outside of the intervention of God, you were so for life. And you became known by such, blind Bartimaeus. They became known by their infirmities. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and others. It is a gathering of misery. It is a gathering of need. And they gather unto him. And what you see here is really a picture of humanity. And it's a very distressing picture. It's a very pathetic picture. It's a very dire picture. The reason that Jesus is there is them. The reason they are there is Him. Great multitudes came unto Him, having with them. They have with them problems and needs and burdens. And they have heard of this one named Jesus. Prior to this event, Jesus had freed the demoniac of Gadara from massive demon possession. Jesus transformed his life. And after he had done so, he told that demonic in Mark 5 verse 19, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And in Mark 5 verse 20, "And he departed and he began to publish," where? In Decapolis. That's where Jesus is. That's where he is. The region of 10 Greek cities. "How great things he hath done for thee." In Mark's account, chapter 7, verse 31, of this event that is before us, Jesus departing from Tyre and Sidon, he came on the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. He is now in the region of Decapolis. And there is no doubt that many who made up this multitude had heard of the great things that Jesus had done for this demonic of Gadara. They heard of his miraculous power. They heard of his pity. They heard of his care. They heard of his tenderness and his kindness that he had shown toward the demonic. He had heard of the deliverance that Jesus had brought to this man, the transformation, the satisfaction and the peace and the assurance and the optimism and the joy that he brought to the demoniac. And now a great multitude of people, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, and maimed, and many others, come unto Jesus. And based upon what they've heard, they come with great hope, believing that He is able to meet all their needs. That's why they're there. They come with conditions and situations and circumstances that no one else can help them with. They come with that which is beyond the know-how and the ability of man. But in that mountain is someone who knows how. In that mountain is someone who is able. So great multitudes come unto him. People have come from the 10 cities in the region, Decapolis. That would be no easy task, having with them the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, and many others. Without a doubt, some of these are carrying individuals in their arms, on their backs, on their beds. Some are leading the blind along. Some are leading the maimed along. But whatever difficulties, whatever struggles along the way, they keep moving in that direction. They keep moving in the direction of Jesus. Why? Because in Him there's hope. And they're moving in that direction. And eventually they arrive at the mountain. And there He is. Jesus there. There he is. And again, though we do not know how far up into the mountain he is, again, I believe just an elevated place, They climbed to where he was. They made their way up to where he was. That would be no easy task, having with them those that were lame, and blind, and dumb, and maimed, and many others. Some are carrying individuals up to where Jesus was. Some are leading the blind along. Some are ascending with the maimed, leaning upon them. But again, in spite of all the difficulties, all the struggles, they keep moving in the direction of Jesus. What motivated them to do so was a sense of need, a heavy burden, and last but not least, the belief and hope that Jesus was able to meet those desperate needs. So they keep moving in the direction of Christ, believing He has the power. He has the ability. He has the know-how to meet our needs. And as they ascend to that elevated place where Jesus was, I believe there were others that had gotten there before and that had been healed, and they're coming down. And as these are going up, they hear the testimonies of others. I can see. I can see. I can walk. I can hear. I can speak. And their hope is aroused. Notice that those who came with the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, what they did. When they got to that place, when they got to the elevated place where Jesus was, they cast them down at Jesus' feet. They simply let go. And they gave them entirely to Jesus to do what they could not do, and to do what only He could do. So we have to ask, is there anybody or anything in your life that you need to just let go and turn it completely over to Him? Just let it go. It's not an easy thing to do. Then notice what Jesus did. Verse 30. Four important words. And He healed them. Jesus Himself, He. Doesn't say Jesus and the disciples, doesn't say they. He healed them. He made the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, and the paralyzed, and the demon-possessed, better. He healed them. He made them better. He fixed them. He restored them to health. He healed them. He did not tell them how to be healed. He healed them. He did not give them some program. You follow these 10 steps. No, He healed them. He did not send them elsewhere. He healed them. We need to hear those words over and over and over again. He healed them. Those who could not stand, those who could not walk, He enabled them to stand. He enabled them to walk. Those who could not see, He opened their blinded eyes. Those who could not hear, they could not speak, He unplugged their deaf ears. He loosed their tongues. Those who were deformed, those who were paralyzed and had maimed limbs, He corrected them. Those who no one else could heal, He healed them. Read it over and over. He healed them. Oh, what Jesus can do. Oh, what He can do. He healed them. This is God's grace. This is God's mercy. This is God's love, His kindness, and His goodness. He healed them. And we see from Mark's account, because Mark just focuses on one individual, He dealt with them individually. It was Jesus ministering to individuals. And their individual need. The Lord may save 15 people in a church service. Same church service. But He saved each one individually. He didn't save them collectively. And so it is with just meeting the needs of people. It was Jesus meeting the needs of individuals at their point of need. Again, it may have been extremely difficult getting up to where Jesus was. And oh, how some of them struggled to do so. But it was worth it all when their lame legs received strength to stand and walk. And when their blinded eyes had sight imparted. And when deaf ears heard. And when speechless mouths spoke plainly. When deformed limbs were restored. We see them struggling to get to the point where Jesus is. I don't see them struggling as they come down. They're not struggling. They may have needed help going up where they were. They didn't need any help coming down because Jesus healed them. Those who were lame may have said to those who brought them as they're going up, "You got to let me lean on you." And then coming down, the fellow might have said, "Here, just lean on me." "I don't need to. I don't need to lean on you. You just go ahead." And he walked right down that mountain. I have to ask you today, do you have any personal needs? There isn't a person here that doesn't. Do you desire that Jesus minister to you on a personal level? Do you desire that? Then notice what the people did. Verse 30, 31. Notice the magnitude of what took place. He healed them in so much. That means to such an extent that the multitude wondered. That is, they were struck with awe. They were struck with surprise, astonishment, amazement, and marvel. When they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. Mark says in his account, chapter 7, verse 37, they were beyond measure astonished. Oh, what Jesus can do. And oh, what a sight. What joy. So we read of this predominantly Gentile crowd, and they glorified the God of Israel. They glorified the God of Israel. As Jesus personally ministered to the mute, and hearing and speaking were imparted to them, they glorified God. As Jesus personally ministered to the crippled, and they were able to stand and they were able to walk, they glorified God. And as Jesus ministered to the blind, and they were made to see, they glorified God. And when those who brought these individuals to where Jesus was saw their loved ones healed, they glorified God. You have a multitude of well over 4,000 people glorifying God. And in Mark 7, verse 37, Mark says, saying, He hath done all things well. He hath done all things well. There was praise. There was joyful tribute. There was gratitude. There was homage. There was honor. There was exaltation. There was celebration. And by reading the text, this was going on for 3 days. The people have been abundantly blessed of God. And there's exceeding joy. We see from verse 32 of our text, people had no desire to leave where Christ was. And Jesus said, they continue with me now 3 days. Continuing with Jesus, they would see another miracle. Jesus would feed them with very little means. You stay where Jesus is, and you'll see other miracles as well. So you and I, they're saved. In salvation, we experience something far greater than any of the physical healings we read of in the Gospels. We are the objects of His amazing grace. And oh, how we ought to overflow with praise. He's our gathering point. And we ought to gather to Him, unto Him, with praise and gratitude to Him. We ought to be overcome with the desire to praise Him, to honor Him, to exalt Him. And we ought to have a desire to continually abide with Him. Jesus there, that's where I want to be. Wherever He is, there. They wanted to be there. So again, I must ask, do you have any personal needs? Are you in need of spiritual healing? Do you believe that Jesus is able to bring healing where healing is needed? Do you believe that? Are you willing to leave where you are and get to where Jesus is? Are you willing to let go and give it all to Christ, laying it all before Him? Read those words, He healed them. Hear those words, He healed them. Feel those words, He healed them. He was the answer to their impossibilities. He was the answer to their needs, and He still is. He's still the answer. Jesus is able to miraculously meet your need, however great it may be. Jesus there. And they came unto him, having with them. Come to Jesus with whatever needs you have. Come to Him with those needs, with those problems, with those trials and difficulties. He is our gathering point. That is true when we come and we assemble in this building. He's our gathering point. We come unto Him. We come unto Him. Whatever it is today, whatever it is, He knows all about it. He knows everything about you. And He's here for you. Just let go and give it all to Him. If you're unsaved, this is a beautiful picture of salvation. Jesus is the Savior. There is no other. Brother Larry, if you come and lead us in verse song.